Hey, podcast listeners, it's Brandon Hollingsworth here. What you're about to hear is a special extended cut of my interview with UT planetary scientist Josh Emery. Now, you'll hear some of the material that made it into the final cut on this month's edition of The Method, but you'll also hear a lot more, including some interesting questions and speculations about the nature of Pluto's geology and surface chemistry. So lots to talk about, a longer version of the interview, and we'll begin with Josh Emery describing what New Horizons saw as it swept past Pluto's craggy, icy surface earlier this month.
So I think there were sort of two general areas of really interesting, not fully expected results. One is the clear indications of geologic activity, recent geologic activity, on both Pluto and its largest moon, Charon. And Charon is particularly surprising. It's small, and we didn't expect geologic activity on that moon. And then the second area that's interesting is Pluto's atmosphere. Pluto has a really thin atmosphere, but the team just announced last Friday some really interesting results about Pluto's atmosphere.
Well, what were those results? What is surprising about the atmosphere?
So the one of the big surprising things is that it's about half as dense as it was previously measured to be. So the last measurement from the Earth, we measure the density of Pluto's atmosphere when Pluto passes in front of a star. We can measure how the starlight dims as it gets close to Pluto. And so from that, get a pretty good calculation of the atmospheric density. New Horizons did a better job being closer, and it found a density that's about half what we last calculated. So Pluto has half as much atmosphere as it did 2 years ago. There's no problem with the previous calculations. It's really that Pluto's atmosphere is thinning out, possibly freezing to the surface as Pluto moves further away from the sun.
That is fascinating. And so are the other results that we're talking about with things like ice mountains that are about more than 10,000 feet high, I think, and evidence, as you said, of recent geologic activity on both of these worlds, Pluto and Charon. But we don't have all the data yet, because even though the flyby took place on the 14th of July, it's going to take quite a while for us to download all the pictures and all the other data that the spacecraft collected when it flew by.
That's right. So New Horizons is really far away. So all the data are sent back through radio signals, and the intensity of that signal is really low, so the data rates are much, much slower even than an old dial-up modem used to be, a really slow data rate. So it's going to be 16 months before all of the data come back to Earth.
So there are obviously going to be a lot more questions being asked, as I'm sure is always the case with planetary exploration. The first results probably raise more questions than they solve. What are some of the questions in your mind, based on these initial photographs and some of the other data that have been sent back, like infrared data and looking at some other chemical signatures on Pluto? What are some of the questions that have been raised in your mind as a result of seeing some of this early data?
One of them has to do with the heat source for geologic activity. All geologic activity is driven by heat trying to escape from the interior. We have plate tectonics on Earth, volcanoes, everything, because there's the interior of the Earth is hot and that heat's trying to get out. Smaller bodies like Pluto and Charon should have cooled off completely over the age of the solar system. So in that sense, we wouldn't expect there to be any heat in the interior to be escaping. But both of these bodies show these signs, canyons and recent flows of ices on the surface. And when I say ices here, I mean exotic ices, not necessarily water ice, but things like nitrogen ice, methane ice, carbon monoxide ice, these things that are gaseous in our atmosphere. It's so cold on Pluto's surface that they freeze to the surface. And so one of the big questions is just how these small bodies can support such geologic activity after 4.5 billion years.
There, of course, is a now famous photo of Pluto that was taken just before Final Encounter that shows the whole disk, shows a whole hemisphere of the planet, the famous heart image, if you will, that showed some interesting color differences, something you and I talked about back in April, darker regions versus lighter regions. Any light shed on why those are? What's different between those lighter regions and the darker regions that may explain that?
Right. So the heart itself is interesting. That's one of the lighter regions, one of the brighter regions.
Which I should point out, the heart, of course, a very informal name. It's being proposed to be called Tombaugh Regio after the discoverer, Clyde Tombaugh.
That's correct. And the International Astronomical Union has the purview of deciding names and approving that or not. So it'll take some months for that to work through the system. But that region is really interesting. The higher resolution images of Tom Balreggio show a really smooth surface, no impact craters at all, which indicates that it's really young.
Yeah.
It's really bright, and apparently they haven't shown these spectra, but in press conferences, the scientists have said that it's rich in carbon monoxide ice.
Hmm.
So apparently it's a recent flow, a recent possibly eruption from the interior that contains a lot more carbon monoxide, and that's probably a clue about what the geochemical conditions are under the surface that allow the eruptions, but no one understands that quite yet.
Yeah.
That's the point of looking at the data more.
You know, there's an interesting topic. We may not use this in the final interview, but I'm a nerd, so I want to ask. I remember when reading about Voyager's encounters with the Neptunian system, that was sort of the beginning of the concept of cryovolcanism, especially around, I think, Triton, which was exhibiting, like you said, a kind of a tectonics or activity that would indicate some kind of change, active geologic mm-hmm. tectonic change on the surface. But working in a completely different medium, not molten rock, but molten chemicals. And is there any kind of indication that maybe that's what's happening on Pluto and Charon? Is some kind of melty something that's doing something?
Exactly. Triton is a great comparison, the largest moon of Neptune. It has mm-hmm. a surface composition that's really similar to Pluto. So again, a lot of nitrogen ice on the surface, carbon monoxide ice, methane ice. Triton also has carbon dioxide, which we haven't seen on Pluto yet. But and there were there were active plumes. So we saw plumes erupting 8 kilometers into the atmosphere of Triton. So it was visibly active when Voyager flew by. And then there were surface terrains that were really flat that looked like flows onto the surface. The difference is that Triton orbits a large planet, and the tides raised in Triton from that large planet might be enough to produce the heat in the interior to drive that geologic
activity. It warms
activity.
It up just enough to kind of get things flowing.
That's right. And that's not present for Pluto because it doesn't orbit a planet. It's just its own body out there. But it's a great comparison, those two bodies. They're about the same size. They have similar surface compositions. They probably both formed in similar ways and then had different histories. Triton became captured by Neptune, and Pluto.
So it might be helpful to look at it maybe as an analog to help us form some theories about the Plutonian system.
Definitely.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll be looking forward over the next 16 months to getting all these data back and pictures, many more pictures, I'm sure, mm-hmm. that hopefully will shed a lot more light on this. Dr. Josh Emery, always a pleasure, and we'll have you back then to talk more about what we're learning about Pluto.
Oh, well, thank you. I look forward to it.